versus Somerville.
May it please the court, counsel. Greg German on behalf of Mr. Michael Harwood. This is a Section 1983 case alleging violations of the 4th and 14th Amendments to the United States Constitution. The original and the amended complaints both allege that Michael Somerville, the defendant, who is also an Illinois State Police officer, threatened the plaintiff and appellant, Michael Harwood. Under the color of state law, the defendant seized Mr. Harwood, threatened him with false imprisonment, and accused him falsely of crimes, among other things. For the purposes of this appeal, however, the defendant's worst action was to indicate he was going to falsely seize Mr. Harwood's livelihood, his professional calling. The United States District Court of the Central District granted the defendant's second motion to dismiss. In the order granting the motion to dismiss, the trial judge noted no liberty interest was violated. In fact, there was hardly a mention
our
of any...
Our jurisdiction here is limited to the denial of the Rule 60 motion.
That's correct, Your Honor. As a matter of fact, the mistake that we're going to get to is related to the liberty interest protected, the right to practice his profession. The court, in the trial level, in the motion to dismiss, did not mention the liberty interest at all, barely in the motion to dismiss itself, except for a little bit at the beginning. Now, Mr. Harwood had raised this issue both in his original complaint and in his amended complaint. When this fact was directed to the trial judge in a motion to reconsider, the judge wrote the following, and I quote, "In support of his motion, Harwood argues for the first time that because he is a skilled shooter of firearms and sponsored as a professional, the threat to take away his firearm FOID card constituted a violation of his freedom to contract and to practice his professional calling." Now, this order was entered by the judge on February 4th, 2003. In fact, that assertion had been made by Mr. Harwood more than 5 months before in his amended complaint. He had alleged a violation of his liberty interest. He had alleged in his amended complaint that he couldn't practice his professional calling because of the actions of the defendant's appellee. Mr. Harwood, moreover, made the same allegations in his original complaint filed nearly a year before, back on March 21st, 2002. Now, both the original and the amended complaint stated, quote, "Additionally, the officer said Mr. Harwood would lose his FOID card and would not have a shooting career." The operative words in the pleading was, "would lose and would not have a shooting career." The district judge was mistaken about the contents of the original and the amended complaint. The mistake could not have been raised on direct appeal because the mistake only became apparent on the February 4th, 2003 order entered by the judge. Before that, the mistake wasn't known. The only remedy for this particular mistake and the only remedy for this particular type of mistake is a Rule 60B motion. Simply put, the judge made a mistake or had some inadvertence occur because the judge did not know the contents of the original and the amended complaints. Now, we could argue that the ruling was legally erroneous, but we're not here to do that. We believe that the case has merits, otherwise we wouldn't have pursued it this far. We're here because there was a mistake, there was inadvertence, and because of the Rule 60B efforts. Now, one issue this court might struggle with is whether the Rule 60B mistake or inadvertence provision applies to a judge or a trial judge at the district court level? The answer is yes, it does apply. The advisory committee notes to Rule 60B indicate that early drafts of that rule only dealt with mistakes by an appellant. Any mistakes by other people did not involve 60B. The relevant advisory committee notes read as follows, and I quote, the qualifying pronoun his has been eliminated on the basis that it is too restrictive and that the subdivision should include the mistake or neglect of others, which may be just as material and call for supervisory jurisdiction as where the judgment is taken against the party through his mistake or inadvertence, etc., end quote. And the emphasis were in the notes.
I don't know if that makes a lot of sense. You're going to allege mistakes made by a judge. Direct appeal ought to be the vehicle for raising that.
Oh, Your Honor, if it were errors or omissions because of law, but in this case, Your Honor, we're saying that it was a clerical mistake. If, as can be seen by the judge's ruling on the February 4th order, the judge said for the first time this allegation was raised. If the judge had seen that complaint, the judge wouldn't have ruled the way the judge did. And that's why we say 60B is here for clerical mistakes, not for mistakes as a matter of law.
What the judge didn't see was paragraph 17, plaintiff Michael Harwood is a skilled shooter of firearms and he has been sponsored as a professional.
That, and I believe there's another paragraph, Your Honor, which states that another paragraph, Your Honor, that says, additionally, the officer said, Mr.
Harwood.
That's
the preceding paragraph. It has the last sentence that he would lose his FOID card.
Yes, Your Honor.
And would not have a shooting career.
That's correct.
But even giving it a somewhat expansive reading, that doesn't say that's his livelihood.
Well, I believe, Your Honor, according to the rules, the court at the district court level is supposed to give a look at it with a plain meaning.
Well, as I said, even giving it an expansive reading.
Well, I believe the use of the term career should have been enough of an indication that this was his livelihood, that this is what he did, that without it, he didn't have anything else. Now, Rule 60B also provides relief for, and quote, any other reason justifying relief from the operation of the judgment, end quote. Michael Harwood has a meritorious case. It should not be terminated because of a mistake or inadvertence at the trial court level. Mr. Harwood didn't have a chance to amend his pleading. He certainly would have if given the chance. Now, the Fifth Circuit, which has no precedential value here, has held the following in the Laguna Royalty Company versus Marsh case. Rule 60B, quote, should be liberally construed and any doubt resolved in favor of application to set aside a judgment in order that the case may be tried upon the merits, end quote. Finally, Your Honors, the particular wording used by the trial court, when the trial court said, for the first time, I think those words have merit in this matter because those words indicate that the trial court wanted to protect the appeal, that the trial court apparently had not seen the allegation in the pleading. Certainly there was no mention of those particular allegations. The trial court, if the judge wanted to really protect the ruling on appeal, could have said, although Mr. Harwood alleged a career, he didn't make it any further. He didn't go further with it. Judge, the possible reasoning for this outcome is that there was a multiplicity of judges. There was no continuity to this case. I believe there were three judges, as can be seen in the record, who dealt with the matter. The last judge only dealt with the matter on the second motion to dismiss, the reason we're here today.
Well, it's hard to say that Judge Scott missed it, because Somerville warned Howard to keep away from Howard's fiance. Somerville also told Harwood he would lose his Illinois firearms identification card and would not have a shooting career. That was in the order that granted the motion to dismiss, wasn't it?
Judge, that was at the beginning of the order, but that was all the judge discussed the matter. And then, on the motion for reconsideration in her order, she says for the first time this was raised, this issue was raised.
Yeah, so, but see, if the problem is, I mean, you want the district court to really have to read into that initial statement in the complaint. I mean, it was spelled out on the motion to reconsider that it was a professional career, that, you know, this was his professional calling and that kind of thing. It certainly wasn't made clear before that.
And Your Honor, I guess our argument would be respectfully that the liberal rules in pleading don't require too expansive of a definition of any item. And I believe that the use of just the word career should have been enough.
But that's a direct appeal, isn't it?
It would be a direct appeal if there weren't a clerical mistake. Your Honor, I'm sorry. I see my time is up. We respectfully request that the judgment of the court be reversed.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Kearns?
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the court, counsel. Mary Pat Kearns, Assistant Attorney General, appearing on behalf of Defendant Michael Somerville. I'd like to reiterate some of the points that were raised earlier. The district court judge did indeed recognize the factual allegation that Mr. Somerville had been at least charged or claimed by Mr. Harwood to have threatened the loss of his FOID card, the loss of his shooting career. She also recognized the factual allegations that Mr. Harwood was a skilled professional shooter and had been sponsored professionally. Those factual allegations aside were never, they were not ever asserted or argued as a clear constitutional right that was jeopardized or allegedly violated by Mr. Somerville. The procedural posture of this case, I think, is fairly important. The original complaint was dismissed on a 12b6 motion, and the amended complaint filed by Mr. Harwood contained substantially similar allegations. That amended complaint was also the subject of a 12b6 motion to dismiss, and in that motion, Mr. Somerville specifically said that dismissal was proper because Mr. Harwood had failed to state a claim upon which relief could be granted, and that the claim was otherwise barred on the basis of qualified immunity for a state official. That's very important here, because in this case, in order to do the qualified immunity analysis, the court first must consider the allegations in the complaint to determine whether or not a clear constitutional right has been asserted. If there's no clear constitutional right asserted, then qualified immunity analysis doesn't go any further and the immunity will be granted. The fact that that was necessary to the analysis is critical here, because when Mr. Harwood responded to the motion to dismiss, he never asserted that the factual allegations upon which he relies now and upon which he relied in filing his Rule 60B motion were the substance of a clear constitutional right allegedly violated by Mr. Somerville. Instead, he asserted that he had general Fourth Amendment right to be free from unreasonable seizure, and he had a general liberty right as guaranteed under the 14th Amendment. In support of those, he referred to allegations of false imprisonment, false accusations of crime, and the attempt by Mr. Somerville to prevent him from having any contact with his fiancée. The fact that possibly and defendant Somerville does not concede this, the district court judge might have missed a clear constitutional right based upon the right to contract, the right to pursue a professional calling. The district court judge cannot be faulted for that here. The district court judge may not have recognized it because, indeed, the plaintiff didn't recognize it in responding to the motion to dismiss. Moreover, we argue that the defendant did not, the district court did not make any mistake at all in denying the Rule 60B motion. In fact, she did specifically recognize the factual allegations. Her order says that Harwood's response to the motion to dismiss did not advance this argument. Advancing new legal arguments or theories that could have been raised earlier is not a ground for a Rule 60B motion, and the mere threat to take away the FOID card does not state a claim for violation of Harwood's 14th Amendment rights. Any mistake that can be claimed by Mr. Harwood here must be a mistake of law. That mistake of law would be that the district court judge did not recognize from the factual allegations in the complaint an alleged violation of a constitutional right. A mistake of law must be challenged on direct appeal. It's not, Rule 60B is not an appropriate vehicle for bringing up a district court judge's mistake of law in this context. In fact, at the very least, a 59E motion should have been filed, and then the district court judge would have had an opportunity in her own right to decide whether or not the amended complaint required further proceedings. More importantly, perhaps, it should be recognized that the plaintiff has and appellant has not answered the portion of my brief that argues that dismissal was proper based upon the district court's conclusion that no actual violations of constitutional rights were ever alleged. Mere threats are insufficient. He has not alleged a First Amendment right. The threat with a First Amendment right may create a chilling effect. That's not alleged here because there's no allegation that any of the threatened actions ever actually occurred. At best, Mr. Harwood can claim perhaps the possibility or a risk that a constitutional violation could occur at some time in the future. He did not allege that he was ever arrested or charged with a crime. He never alleged that he actually had been deprived of his FOID card. He never alleged that he'd been prevented from continuing his shooting career or had been precluded from spending time with his fiance. Even if the court had been mistaken about the factual allegations or their legal import in the amended complaint, dismissal was proper here. I have to take issue with counsel's statement in his opening argument. There was no seizure of the plaintiff in this case. He went to the police station voluntarily. He went with his father. His right to leave, at least from the allegations in the complaint, was never hampered or hindered. And there's just no indication here from the pleadings in this case that he was actually subject to an unreasonable or improper seizure. The court recognized his liberty interest but found that no allegation of a constitutional violation was sufficiently alleged. For those reasons, Defendant Michael Somerville would ask that the district court's judgment be affirmed. If there are no further questions, I'll relinquish the remainder of my time.
Thank you, Ms. Kearns. The case will be taken under advisement.